Book of Exodus, chapter 9, starting from verse 1.
Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land.
This is the fifth miracle or fifth plague. God is giving warning. The last plague was flies. And now, this time, God is telling Pharaoh, this will be a plague for your animals. He's saying, all the animals, the cattle in the field, the horses, donkeys, camels, oxen, sheep, and he says, this plague will be very grievous. So he already told Pharaoh, and this is not the first time Pharaoh is seeing this. He saw almost four miracles up to now. This is, I think, the fifth one. But his heart is hardened. God already told Moses and Aaron, his heart will be hardened, and they have already seen. And as I said earlier, Moses, Aaron, all the children of Israel, they are not complaining anything to God, why you are hardening his heart, and why he is not allowing us to go. Because they have seen now, no plague, no flies, no frogs, nothing coming to them. So they are only seeing what's happening to Pharaoh. So they might be enjoying Pharaoh's destruction. Here God says very clearly to Pharaoh, I'm going to save the children of Israel's animal, and nothing will happen to the children of Israel, or their cattle will not die. And then he gives him time until tomorrow. So make up your mind, and within, I don't know, maybe 24 hours or so, he gave him time. He said, tomorrow this time, this will happen in your land. But we don't see any signs of Pharaoh calling them and telling them, don't do it. Let's read the verse 6.
And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go.
Now, here doesn't say what Pharaoh did, but from this I gather something, some meaning from this. First of all, Moses said, all your cattle are going to die. Not only cattle, your horses and donkeys and camels, oxen and sheep, and everything is going to die. And he didn't believe. He hardened his heart. And God says, I'm going to save the children of Israel's animals. When he saw all the animals were in the field, because God says, whatever stays in the field, so some of the animals, maybe they didn't allow them to go in the field and they saved it, some of them. But here we see the children of Israel's animal will not die, God said. So he wants to see if that plague just came for us and the children of Israel's animal didn't die, let me go. So he sent somebody. He says, Pharaoh sent. Maybe he sent some servants and say, go and check if any animal in Israel died. So here, God did a miracle. But this time, not a single animal was dead. So I think what happened, when he saw that, maybe by force, he took some Israel's animal and brought it to himself, because we are going to see again some disaster going to come on animals. So when I read that, I thought his all animal died. How he got the animal again? But I believe he, when he went and saw that Israeli people's animals are not dead, so take them by force, and maybe he took it for himself. And so it's not written in here, but when he said Pharaoh sent and found out if the Israeli people's animals are not dead, and Israel's are their slaves, so he might have taken some of the animals by force for himself. Verse 8.
And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt.
Most of the time God talked to Moses and said, tell Aaron to do these things. Tell the Aaron to take a rod and point toward the rivers and this and that. But this time God says, you do it. Animals and the people will have boil in the land of Egypt. And so Moses believed it. And let's read verse 10.
And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast.
They took the ashes from the furnace. In those days they used to burn the wood and things like that. So the powder is very thin powder. And so they took that powder and threw it in the air. When you throw the ashes, if it has to go everywhere, then the wind has to come this way, this way, this way, like a circle, and send the ashes everywhere, but keep the Israeli people's land safe. It's a miracle how God can do. See the little bit dust and that ashes, God can control by the air. Don't let these ashes go to Israeli people, go only Egyptians. And it's a miracle. We have to believe how God is able to even control little bit dust and dust particles. He has power to control these things and do whatever he wants to do. Because once you throw the dust or throw this, ashes, there is no guarantee where it's going to land. But God controlled that. Went to every land and every person, every beast on Egyptian only. And they got boils. Verse 11.
And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians.
You remember this magician, all the time they come and do some kind of mischiefs and show that they can do it. The last time the lies came, they stopped. They said, we cannot do it. This is the finger of God. Now this time they got the boils, but thank God these boils were not cancerous boils. Nobody died with these boils. This boil just came maybe uncomfortable, scratching or pain or something. Every person and animal got some discomfort. Okay, verse 12.
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
See, from this you know, nobody died, no animal died. The boil was an animal and the people, but nobody died. So he said, oh, what's the big deal? Those boils are there, and we'll call Moses, and Moses might pray to God, and they will disappear. So we don't have to worry. And that's what some people do. When they have some problems, and they don't pray, and problem goes automatically, and they said, well, last time I didn't pray, and I'm okay. I didn't have any problem. I had some problem for a couple of days, and it went away. So why should I go to church? Why should I pray? Why should I call upon God? And that's why the people's heart get hardened. So the Pharaoh says, well, nobody died, nothing happened. So why I should allow these people to go? Verse 13.
And the The Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me.
God told Moses, Go in the early in the morning. Now I'm thinking, he didn't say where to go. Most of the time he told him, go to the river's bank. He comes to take a bath all the time. So he says, go to the morning, early in the morning, go to the Pharaoh. So I believe he might have gone to the river. Maybe he thinks that I'm going to wash away or take some kind of medicine or soap or some kind of cream or something, and this will go away. So he might have gone to the river. When he goes to the river, then he says, go and talk to the Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. And so, see what the Pharaoh is saying. Let's read the verse 14.
For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth.
Now, this time he's saying, I'm going to send the plague upon thine heart. Now, when I was thinking this, there was no plague upon their heart. But what happened when this plague is thunderstorm and hell and hellfire and the rain is going to come? And you know, if the loud voice comes like a thunder, you get your like a heart pain. That's what the heart attack, some people can die with that fear. So he is saying, I'm going to send this to your heart. But I thought maybe he's going to get heart attack and die. Other people might say, hey, what kind of heart disease, or what is going to come to these people, and how this plague going to come to their heart? But he says, on your earth, the land of Egypt, verse 15.
For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go?
Now here the word of God is saying, I am doing these miracles, you're hardening your heart, I am the one is there to harden your heart. So God can harden somebody's heart, and God can soften somebody's heart. Then some people will say, well, when God hardens the heart, that's why we are not believing and things like that. But Pharaoh had a lot of chances to turn to God. But there is a limit how long you can harden your heart. The word of God says, if somebody hardened their heart, then what happened? All of a sudden, the disaster comes and they will be cut off without the remedy. And this is what happened to Pharaoh. Right now, he is not paying attention, but God is saying, you know what? I want to tell the whole world, when I did my signs and wonders and miracles, what happened to Egypt? So it can happen to any country or any nation if they don't believe in God. And so God is giving him warning and telling him, you are playing game, but actually I'm the one hardening your heart, and this is what happening, and I want to show my power to the whole world. Verse 18.
Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now.
This kind of hail will come, and that kind of hail never came in Egypt. And not only that, it says, since the foundation thereof, even until now. That means, even though somebody says, oh, there was a rain came in the Noah's time. And God says, this kind of rain will never come, and he set the rainbow. Now somebody is saying God is breaking his law here. The rain came at that time all over the world. This time he's saying, I'm going to send not only rain, but this rain like a hail. A big chunk of ice will be falling, thunderstorm will be happening, and lightning will be happening, and people will be burning with the lightning, and there will be fire. And you now we see sometimes lightning comes and there are rain coming and following rain. Still in that cold rain, lightning hits in a building or somewhere and cause fire. And so this lightning coming as a fire and touches everything and makes fire. God says, this kind of lightning, this kind of hail, this kind of rain didn't come anytime from the foundation of the world and Egyptian people established their kingdom. They never saw it. This is the first time I'm going to do it. Verse 19.
Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die.
Now this time God gave him a warning. Last time he said, if anything in the field, those animals will die, from your horses to everything. And so they saw the miracle before. Now this time he gave the warning, anything stays in the field outdoor, they are going to die with the hail, hailstorm, lightning, and the rain. And so get your animals indoor, and so they will be safe. Now Pharaoh is stubborn-hearted. He didn't care. He might have thought in his heart, last time the plague came, my animal died, I sent the people and got the animal from the Israeli people. I'll do this again, so I'm not worried. But see what happened, some of the servants and some of the public, they got the message. If the Pharaoh is hardening his heart, we should not be doing it. Let's read the verse 20. Exodus chapter 9, verse 20.
He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field.
See, some people got the message, Pharaoh is doing something wrong, he's not allowing these people to go, and so disaster coming to the Egypt, and when the warning is given, we are going to listen to the warning. And some people listen, and some people didn't listen. And that's what happens. Sometimes, you know, warning after warning comes, we have to take the warning. If you don't take the warning, then here, see, their animal died, and not only animal, their craft and everything, whatever they had, destroyed. And so Pharaoh is not learning and not giving warning to people. Hey people, Moses has said this, something is going to happen, please take care of your animal. He's not saying. Only people who heard Moses talking, those people spread the word and saved their animals. Verse 22.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt.
Now see, here again God says to Moses. He did not say, Moses, tell Aaron to stretch forth his hand to heaven. Now here onwards I'm seeing God directly telling Moses what to do. So here Moses got a little bit bold now. Whatever God says, he obeys and he does, and exactly thing happens, and then he goes to God and he prays and God answers his prayer. So here Moses stretched his hand towards the heaven and hail start coming. I think God might have allowed at least Moses to go home safe, and then the hail might have fallen, or Moses might be doing from his own area. We don't know, it's not given here. But the Moses was safe in his place. Verse 23.
And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt.
Now see here, thunder, hail, rain, and fire. I think when the thunder comes, your heart gets scared. That's why this alarm clock is. Alarm means you get some kind of fear, a warning in your heart. So any sound people hear, they get some kind of heartbeat faster. And so one after another, this thunder comes, and you can see how much children and wives, I mean, be shouting and crying and be afraid, and fire everywhere is breaking up. Houses might be burning, the mansions might be burning, the tree might be burning, and everywhere water and hell, and there is no safety. People cannot go out, and if they stay in, they are going to burn with the fire. So they don't know, going out is easy or dying with the fire is easy. And people might be cursing that king. Why this king is doing like this? Why king is not allowing these people to go? Why we are dying like this, like fool, and in this place? It doesn't say here people start leaving Egypt and start going somewhere else. Maybe some people start getting converted and went to Moses' place, Goshen. There's no record here. But when we see, when the people were going, leaving Egypt, there was a mix people, Egyptian also with them. So I'm just guessing some of the problem came. Some people might be coming running to somebody, say, please save us because we are dying. But it's not recorded here, but we will see the later on. Verse 24.
So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Can you imagine? He says, it destroyed every tree. If the tree, green tree, was destroyed by fire, think about the houses. Everything was destroyed. This was so disaster. So from this, it seems like if they were in the field, man or the beast, they might have been dead. Verse 26.
Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Each time something happens in Egypt, they are mentioning in Goshen, where the children of Israel were there, there was no hail. There was no, I think they might have heard the thunder and lightning coming from far. Sometimes, you know, we can see the lightning and thunder far away. But the point I'm making, they might have seen the thunder, they might have seen the lightning, they might have seen the hail, and they might have seen the houses on fire and the tree are falling. But nothing happened to the children of Israel. This is the time they might be praising God and thanking God. How God is good to us. How much suffering we had in the hands of Pharaoh and the hands of the servants of Pharaoh. Today, from the servant to the taskmaster to the Pharaoh's kings, and everybody is suffering. And thank God, nothing is happening to us. And we are safe. So they should be thanking and praising God and glorifying God. It's not written in here how Moses was preparing those people. But I'm thinking each day when these people were saying something like that, Moses might be saying, people, one of these days, Pharaoh is going to let us go. Prepare your clothes. Prepare your bag. Prepare everything. Be ready. Because the last miracle is going to be killing their children. But the point I'm making, children of Israel should be having rejoicing, singing, praising, and getting ready to get out of this Egypt, because Egypt is not suitable to living anyhow. Let's read from verse 27.
And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked.
Can you imagine? This is the first time he is saying, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against God, not one time, many, many times. And I'm a sinner, and my people, they are wicked. Means whole Egypt is sinful. That's what the Bible says. Egypt is a sinful city. Egypt is sin. This is a proof. He's saying, I'm a sinner, and my people are wicked. We are all wicked people. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. When we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody was wicked. The time of Noah, everybody was wicked. Otherwise, God will not be destroying the whole earth, whole world. So that time, people were wicked. Here we see in Egypt, Pharaoh is saying, I'm wicked, I'm a sinner, and my people are wicked. And so he confessed his sins. But at the same time, there are so many people, they confess their sins, they do not forsake. Let's read the verse 28.
Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer.
Now, this time he's saying, take the thundering, the lightning, and all this hailfire, and we will let you go. And see, but this is not the time he's let these people go. Verse 29.
And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's.
Now, see, one thing you notice here. All of the times, he will go to God and say, Lord, take away these frogs, or take away these problems. But this time, he is saying boldly to Pharaoh, he's saying, you know what? As soon as I get out of this place, I go out and I lift up my hand towards heaven, and everything will be stopped. This time he's thinking, I have everything in control. God has given me power to control these nature's things. Sometimes the hurricane comes, or the problem comes and everybody get afraid. My wife would come and say, even though I'm sleeping, she will wake me up. Pray that wind is coming 50, 60 miles per hour and thunder and this and that. And I would pray and go to sleep. Other day, they said, disaster coming in Philadelphia. And I prayed. I said, let's pray. We prayed. And then I went to bed. And she came back again. She said, pray that this disaster coming to Philadelphia. I said, didn't we pray? We prayed. And it's done. And next day we heard the report. Many, many places in Philadelphia, they had a disaster. But I prayed, Lord, our church members and our family members, including my daughters, our church, and our family should be safe. And thank God, nothing happened. Our house was safe, but we heard in television, and so many people had some problems. Other day I was listening, 700 Club. You remember that plane, that Navy people, they were practicing and how to fly or whatever, and the plane crashed on the residential area. And that area, one person had the rental complex. People, 70 people were renting in one block. And so that man said, every day I pray for my tenants. Not only that, I go and take round on their houses. And I say, Lord, protect my tenants. Keep them safe. He says, every day I do that. And when the plane crashed, I had peace. He was thinking, Lord, you're going to protect. And he says, not a single person died. Can you imagine? It's a miracle. And then one lady gave the testimony. She said, I was homebound with a sickness. Now, nobody was there to rescue her. She said, if I would have stayed in there, I would have been dead. But that day, I had the appointment of doctor. So she went to doctor's clinic somewhere. And her house was burned down, but she is saved. And there is a grandma with the two children. And one child looked like 8 years old or so, and the girl looks like 7 years old or something. And they start going to the door, and too much heat and fire, so they were trapped. And the grandma said, let's go in the back door. And so they might be praying, and they went out. And the boy said, I did not feel any heat. I was cool. And then the girl starts saying, I think God put something over me, covered me, and I didn't feel any pain, and the grandma didn't feel any heat. And so they found out not a single person died. And the man who is the manager of that property, he came there and he said, I was praying every day. See how it works? When we start praying, God will protect. God protected us a couple of times from the fire. We were living in Rising Sun. Fire happened to the next door. That house was completely burned down. But not a single fire came to our roof or anywhere. Only one window was cracked a little bit with the heat. But the smoke came, but no fire. And we were out. The point I'm making, God protected our house. But the other people, their house is gone, and the girl jumped from that second floor and she became paralyzed, and she is still paralyzed. Priscilla was living in Tabor Road. So happened, she went that day, took her children, and went to other place. And that day there was a fire, and by the grace of God, her house was not destroyed. Only we had a little bit water problem. But the point I'm making, God protected us and our children from the fire. We do not know when the disaster comes. We do not wait until the disaster. We start praying every day, and the God's protection will be there. Just like if you want to join an army, they don't send you the next day to fight. They give you training. Maybe years, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know how many years training they give. And then they will send you to war. So before you go on the battle, you should be prepared. And so I tell the church members and church pastors, you should be praying for you, praying for your family as well as the church family. Paul, if you see, Paul was praying everyone. He said, I pray with the tears. And he prayed for his church members and his ministry. Okay, verse 30.
But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold.
Moses is saying, you know what? I don't think that you or your servant, they're going to change the heart. You're going to be stubborn. And so he says, flax, barley, and everything was destroyed. And verse 32.
But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up.
People, if God put his full force and full anger, no one will stand before God. Our God is loving and kind. That's why people do not understand God's love. When we tell people, you know what, God loves you and God wants you to change, otherwise the problem will come. They say, oh, who cares? And sometimes you have to tell people exactly what's going to happen to you. And if they don't listen and exactly happens, then they will know this is the one, he said it and it happened. Now, I don't want to disobey. Otherwise, if he'll say something else again, that can happen too. So Moses, exactly what he said, exactly happened. And this time he says, I'm not going to go and ask God to stop this. He said, I'll go out and just stretch my hand towards heaven and it will be stopped. So we should have that kind of confidence. If we pray, God will answer our prayer. Sometimes people pray, but they don't have faith. They said, I'm going to try. Pray, if it happens, happen. If it doesn't happen, we are not going to lose anything. That kind of prayer will not work. It's like a double-minded prayer. When you pray, you believe that's done. There was a man, he had a tumor, big tumor, like a size of coconut, and it was hurting him. He says, I'm just like a fish out of water, and I do not have a 1 minute peace. So I put my hand, touched his stomach and prayed, and I said, now you are healed. And when I say healed, he started looking at me. I said, touch and see if you have pain. He said, I don't have pain. I said, press it and see. He said, I don't have pain. I said, okay, that means the tumor is gone. I said, call your doctor and tell him, are you going to do surgery tomorrow? But today, the man of God came and prayed for me and I don't have any pain. So before you take me for surgery, could you take the x-ray and find out? And they did. And next day I came to see him. He said, doctor came, checked, no tumor, nothing, no pain. I'm going home. So how much time it took? Split second. Just encourage other people's faith. Tell these people, it takes a split second to heal. But for doctor, it takes a long time. If somebody's lame, and you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and man start walking. Take that person, take somebody like that to the doctor. If that doctor is going to make that person walk within a split second? No. It will take a long time. But our God can do it in a split second. So we have to believe and trust in God. Once you have practiced your faith, like Moses, then he doesn't have to go back to God and say, God, could you take this hail and storm away? No, he said, I'm going to do it. Now I learn how to do it. The same way, when somebody tells me to pray, is he going to heal you or not? I'll tell you tomorrow. I don't do that. I just pray and I say, it's done. Just believe it and you receive it. If they don't believe, they may not receive it. But if they believe, it's done. And that's the way we have to do it. Okay, verse 33.
And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased. And the rain was not poured upon the earth.
See, exactly he said, exactly he did. He said, I'm going to do this. He didn't say, I'm going to go call upon God and ask. He said, I'm going to do this. And exactly he did. And everything stopped. So from this we know that Moses got a strong faith in God. He learned that God can do miracle, and I'm part of it. If I obey God and do exactly what God says, then he will listen to me. When we listen to God, God listens to you. Some people say, why when you pray it happened, and why we pray it doesn't happen? I said, well, I prayed for many, 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 many times to many people, so I know it works. So I have no doubt. And not only that, some of the preachers, they have plane, they are rich, and when they fly to another country, they take a couple of doctors with them. Ask. I'm not giving their name. Big, big famous preachers. They have a couple of doctors go with them when they're going. One man came to India, and he was praying for people, and he fainted. And they rushed him, ambulance came, and they rushed him to hospital. Now there is nobody to pray, and everything is disaster. And that time I was very young, maybe I was not even saved. If I was there in this kind of time, I would have said, wait a minute, don't be worried, I'm here, I'm going to pray for you. I did that in Russia. 5,000 people, 4 to 5,000 people's church, Pentecostal church. And Dr. Crouch gave them promise, I'm going to come and preach. And he gave them the exact time, what time he's coming. So our two bus load from our place, we went there and they had their 5,000, 4,000 people. And so we were sitting and then Paul Crouch called the pastor and said, I'll be a little late. So the man comes and he says, Paul Crouch will be late. So be patient. I took my card and give it to the usher. Say, give it to your pastor. And I told that man, tell that pastor, I am available. And so pastor took the card and put it in his back pocket. Never read it. Half an hour later, another phone call came. And then Paul Crouch says, I'm sorry, I cannot make it. I'm at this orphanage and I'm got tied up here. I won't be coming. Now just think, that pastor was not prepared. There were 120 people from America went with me. They were not prepared. But before the man says, I'm be late, I was prepared at that time. I gave my card and said, I'm available. Now when the second call came, that man took the card and say, is Pastor Peter available? He said, yes, sir, I'm available. And I went there and I said, now, people, you are waiting here for long. I'm not going to hold you too long. I'm going to give a short message. And after that, I'm going to pray a mass healing. And most of you people who believed, they will be healed. And I preached and gave the altar call. Stand right there. Put your hand on your body and prayed. And many people got healed. They start running after me, and I went in the bus, I went to the hotel, and the people came to the hotel, and they stayed there until 11:30 night. And then the security guard told them to go. Next day morning, they start coming. The point I'm making, I had a faith that God will do miracles, and God did. But in the Bombay city, when that man rushed to the hospital, there was a disaster. People came from long distance and nobody was there to pray. We have to have faith in God. What I'm trying to say, we have to be prepared. We have to have faith like Moses. And Moses is learning. I'm trusting in God and God will hear my prayer. That's why I tell people, when I don't take medicine, I don't go to doctor, so I'm not sending you to doctor. Some people will say, oh, you go to doctor. There was one man called, and when he called, he says, Pastor Peter, before I called you, I club. And I told them my problem. I told them I have prostate cancer or some prostate problem. The glands are swollen. I'm urine blood, and I have a lot of swelling and a lot of pain. Could you please pray for me? That person says, you describe me. Is you are in very danger condition. Why don't you go to hospital right now? What that man says, I came from the hospital. That's why I know these are the problem. And they, while they checking, they made me more sore. And so you telling me to go to doctor? Why did I call you for prayer? Your job to pray, not to tell me to go to doctor. Then he calls me and as soon as he called, he said, this is my problem. I said, you called the right place. I'm going to pray. Jesus is going to heal you. I prayed for him. Today, if you ask him, this November, he will be 90 years old. If you ask him, if that problem is still there, that problem is gone. What you preach, that you practice. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. So we have to trust in God and believe what God can do. Verse 34.
And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants.
What did he do? He sinned more. What was his sin? Hardening his heart. He did not commit any sin right away. He just hardened his heart. The word of God says hardening your heart is like a witchcraft. It's like an idol worship. So he said, I committed sin. My servant committed sin because we have hardened our heart. And the people think, a few minutes ago he said, I have committed sin. My people are wicked and we are sinners. And what happened? When you committed sin and you still do not change, you keep on sinning again. You're making your heart harder again. Proverbs 28 and read verse 13. It says what you have to do, you confess or repent and forsake. People confessing their sins but do not forsake their sins. That's the problem.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See, confesseth and forsaketh. Confess your sins is good, but not getting rid of that sin is worse. So that's why people sometimes they cry, oh God, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. But they don't promise, I will never do it again. If you confess your sin, then you say, Lord, I'm not going to do it again. Then somebody says, but I'm afraid to make that commitment, I might fall again. Then you are planning to fall, that's what it is. If somebody says, I'm going to get married, you're not going to divorce again. No, I'm not going to get divorced. In case I decided to divorce, I'll take the divorce paper with me. But that is not the way you believe in. If I say, I made this mistake, I'm not doing it again, then that's it. We don't need another paper to take it with you. So same way, he said, I'm a sinner, I made a mistake, my people are wicked, we are sinners, we are going to let you go. But he did not change his mind, really. He did not change his heart. He just repented, but kept the sinful habit, and now everything is fine. I know I am committing sin, but I don't want to change. And that's what the attitude some people have. They don't want to change. They may pray and say, Lord, I'm not going to do it again, but they forget. The word of God is saying, when you keep the covenant with God, a promise God, then you keep the word of God, a promise of God, then you will have prosperity. Verse 35, we are finishing. Exodus chapter 9, verse 35.
And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses.
This is the way the chapter ends. But then we are going to see the chapter 10. We're going to see two more plagues in chapter 10. Shall we rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We have seen the hardened heart of Pharaoh, and we see the result of his hardened of heart. And we see how Moses learned to trust in God, and boldly he is saying to Pharaoh, I will go out and stretch my hand towards heaven and everything will stop. And exactly you let Moses' words come true. So Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us grace and increasing our faith that our God is a good God. And when we trust in him, when we obey him, he will listen to us. And whatever the word we say, he will fulfill that word. So give us grace to trust in you. Bless your people and supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.